Our state capitol report continues now with more reaction to the governor running for president and also the state budget that he signed yesterday after making 104 vetoes. Our next guest is Paul Farrow, an outgoing Republican state senator from Pewaukee. He is the assistant majority leader. He is also the Waukesha County executive-elect. His last day in the state Senate will be this Friday. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for joining us. So, I guess congratulations on your election as Waukesha County Executive. And do you think you're going to be voting on a Milwaukee Bucks deal before you go?
I hope so. Excuse me. I know we're going into caucus tomorrow to talk about that. And if anything holds the way that the Senate's been working this session, when we get our minds together and start talking, we've been able to come up with some good solutions and keep things moving forward. So I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to get this done.
All right. And you want to get this done. You think that this deal is a good deal and you want the Milwaukee Bucks to stay in Milwaukee?
Yeah. When you look at the whole deal that's going on, not just the arena itself, and I think that's a portion of it, but the additional investment that the entities are looking at for the city of Milwaukee, this is a great opportunity. This is a great show for what Milwaukee's potential is and what we can have down the road. And then one of the key components people have to look at is quality of life. A lot of businesses look when they're coming here to Wisconsin, they look to see what it offers for the employees. Having an NBA team, having the ability downtown to support an NBA team and showcase the city is going to be a great addition to that. And we need to keep that to maintain what businesses are looking for.
And I'm sorry, Senator Farrow, I didn't get the note that you have been officially sworn in as Waukesha County Executive, so you are not elect anymore. You are the Waukesha County Executive. So are you going to be on hand when Governor Walker announces his plans to run for president in Waukesha today?
Yes, I will. You know, it's a great opportunity. Again, it kind of just shows Waukesha County's strength when it comes to political issues, especially on the Republican side. We've hosted a number of presidents here who've made announcements at the Expo Center. And in fact, last cycle, when Congressman Ryan was running for vice president, we had an event for him at this Expo Center also. So I think this is a great venue for the governor. He's been here before. He was here for the recall election night. And when we had a good success showing that he was able to overcome those obstacles that were there. And I think this is a great kickoff platform for him as he moves towards the presidency.
Well, how do you assess his chances in the GOP nomination race?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that are in the race. I think the governor has a unique position in showing the strengths that he's had over the last 4 years and what we've been able to do. This budget is another component of that. When you look at curtailing prevailing wage, which is going to help the municipalities in my area, people that I've been talking with, to hold down their costs to their constituents is going to be a great addition. You know, look at the expansion that we have for the voucher program and the choice program throughout the state now. In what we're looking at, I think there are some great opportunities, and I think the governor has a great voice that the rest of the states need to listen to, and I think he'll have a good opportunity now to show that he's a little bit different than the rest of them.
What's your reaction to, Peter Barca is going to be joining us after we're finished talking with you, and he thinks that this budget that the governor signed yesterday into law was more a campaign document than a state budget. And he says, Peter Barca says that the governor is throwing the people of Wisconsin under the campaign bus. What's your response to that?
Well, I think Representative Barca is doing what he's supposed to do at this point as the leader of the minority party. This budget, I think, has balanced itself very well in what we're trying to accomplish. $73 billion in revenues that we're going to be spending over the next 2 years. Is it a perfect budget? I don't think it's perfect. I don't think we can ever get a perfect budget. But in the same respect, I think the governor's done a wonderful job balancing the needs of the people with the strengths that we have in the state to get ourselves in a good fiscal position.
Yeah. Did you, any surprises from you regarding the vetoes that he made?
I don't know if there's any surprises. You know, I've been reading through them, and some of them, you know, I was a little concerned with. There was a couple of the provisions that I would have liked to see continue through, but I'll work on those in the regular legislative process. And that was kind of working with municipalities when they're consolidating services. We had a stipulation put in there that they could use some part of the savings towards additional services instead of putting it all towards the levy. It's kind of technical, but it's, I think, something that when we're looking at truly getting municipalities to consolidate and work together, this is a great step forward. I think it's something that we should continue to pursue. But overall, I think there are some good provisions that the governor left in. I think there are some things that the governor cleaned up in the vetoes as I was reading through some of them to make it a better piece and make sure that we are keeping everything constitutionally sound.
We are talking with Paul Farrow, outgoing Republican state senator from Pewaukee and the assistant majority leader. He is the Waukesha County executive, and his last day in the state Senate will be this Friday. Do you have a question for him about what's in or not in the state budget or anything regarding state politics and perhaps even Governor Walker's run for president? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Was the governor right in vetoing this expansion of payday lending services that was put into the budget in that motion 999?
You know, I look at it, and again, those type of situations, I think when I was reading through the governor's veto message, I agree with them that when you're looking at such a broad extent of change in what we're trying to accomplish, that is better served in the legislative process where there can be open conversations about what's going on instead of put in at the final motion. So I was one where either way, I think what the payday loan companies were looking for was good. I think it's something that, you know, to have any company add additional services that they can provide is an effective thing for us to do. That it's come out of the budget, I think now going through the regular legislative process, we can make sure that it's vetted properly and keep it moving forward.
Yeah. Do you think another one of the items that was in that motion 999 was the changes to the open records law, which was then removed from the state budget, but is now going to be, a topic for a legislative committee to look at? Mm-hmm. Do you think that the state's open records law should be changed?
You know, I think they should be reviewed. There are times where when we work in the legislature, there's a lot of documentation that we get. I am, for one, don't have a problem if people want to open records our office and find out what we're doing. That's kind of part of the process as a legislative official, as a public official. That's what we get. That's kind of what you have to deal with. I understood in the intent there are some frivolous open records requests that people make just trying to gather all this information. Clearing those things up, I think, would be a good idea, and I think a legislative council study will help us get to those right ideas
We only have about a minute to go. Do you think policy items should be banned from the state budget?
It's one where we all wish we could ban the policy items, but when you look back through history, a lot of things have been done and accomplished in the budgets. In fact, some of the major policy issues have been done in the repair budgets that come in the alternate years. One, I would say, is we should be more prudent about what items we're looking at. If it's something that's already in the legislative process, then I think it should stay there. If it's something that might be somewhat controversial, but in order for it to get passed, should be part of the budget, I think that it should have at least a hearing on itself or a hearing that's going on so that they can see what's going through with it.
So maybe a last-minute motion 999, should that be banned?
I'm not going to say it should be banned, mm-hmm. but you should be very prudent of what you put in. When you look at this 999 motion, yeah, there is a couple of minor, I shouldn't say minor, there was the open records issues, but there was also a lot of corrections that were made to the existing things that were in the budget.
I get it.
And that need to be taken care of.
And we are out of time. Thank you very much for being with us, Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrow.
Thanks, Joy. Have a great day.
Paul Farrell, outgoing Republican state senator from Pewaukee. His last day in the state Senate is this Friday. We'll check news and then we'll welcome in State Representative Peter Barca. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We welcome in now Peter Barca, a Democratic state representative from Kenosha and Racine. He is the Assembly Minority Leader. If you have a question or a reaction for him about the state budget that Governor Walker signed into law yesterday, or any of the vetoes that he issued before signing the budget, or if you want to react to the governor running for president. He makes it official with an announcement in Waukesha at 5 o'clock this afternoon, but he has already announced on social media Governor Walker is running for president. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Representative Barca, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Joy.
Well, I know that you have said in a statement that this budget is the worst one you have seen in Wisconsin. Now, is that are you just doing what the Assembly Minority Leader is supposed to be doing, according to outgoing State Senator Paul Farrow, or are you serious?
No, I am absolutely serious in that, and I'm not the only one to say that. Other longtime lawmakers who had served for many years have said the same thing. And why do I say that, Joy? I say it because across the spectrum, when you look at the various elements that make Wisconsin special, they're all going to take significant hits in terms of quality, in terms of the breadth of service to citizens. And we're concerned. We're extremely concerned. I mean, you start with the UW system. You know, where $250 million has been cut on the heels of other cuts that have been made prior to this. And, you know, when you listen to Chancellor Blank from Madison, who has said that people are getting offers from other states, they've lost top-tier candidates, we worry about the future of maintaining a world-class university system. When you look at senior programs, in fact, the governor, one of his vetoes, on IRIS for programs serving the disabled, once again appears to be taking a shot at maintaining, you know, these kinds of programs that are just vital for, you know, frail elderly and people with disabilities. When you look at the K-12 system and the idea that after taking $1.6 billion out of the system and we have more effective cuts, and then you add in the uncertainty and the cost of removing between $600 and $800 million over the next decade in transferring funds directly from public schools to these private schools, that's going to take a huge hit again on public education in this state, which serve roughly 85% of the students. And infrastructure is being curbed back dramatically. In fact, 5,500 jobs will be lost compared to even what the governor had originally introduced. And then prevailing wage, which there is absolutely no doubt will cut the wages of workers at a time when we're losing our middle class.
Let me take a call on that right away, Representative Barca. Let me take a call right away on prevailing wage. Laura in Madison would like to talk about that. Hi, Laura.
Actually, it was Lori.
I'm very sorry, Lori.
Oh, no, it's all right. I assume that that's what your caller said. Good morning. Thank you. Actually, just in keeping up on this, yes, I didn't want to talk about prevailing wage, but, you know, this may be one of the last times that we actually hear about this within the context of Wisconsin, because at least insofar as what Walker said prior to his submission of the budget and the way the budget is now, because now the entire news media is focused on the campaign, the presidential campaign. So Walker, in terms of what he ran on for Wisconsin, that's no longer an issue. And Motion 99, that's no longer an issue. And all of this other stuff, these are no longer issues for Wisconsin. Instead, everything is the national campaign. Joy, you've been positioned very carefully by this administration.
Well, I don't necessarily want to turn attention onto Wisconsin Public Radio. Lori, we did talk about prevailing wage being a part of this budget when it was not something that the governor had highlighted or said that he even wanted just in our last half hour with Sean Johnson. And what about that? Representative Barca, prevailing wages there when it was not something that was really talked about prior to the budget?
Well, unfortunately, so many items were added to the budget along the process without really having an adequate public vetting, without really involving the public and being able to come to hearings and having separate votes of the legislature. Prevailing wage in particular is a tough one because what this will do is it will make it far easier for out-of-state firms to come in and outbid Wisconsin companies, and wages absolutely are going to go down. And for people that want to see us maintain a middle class in America and in Wisconsin, this is directly a policy that will lead to further erosion of the middle class. And the irony is, I know the Republicans talk all the time about all the taxpayer money that will be saved by paying lower wages. But wages are only one element of the equation, and it also has to do with the efficiency of workers and the skill of workers. And what our fiscal bureau, our nonpartisan fiscal bureau, found is that it will not lead to lower costs for taxpayers. In the Minnesota review that was done, which is even more extensive, found the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. So why would you do this? I really believe that once again, it's just a slam at workers and attempting to lower wages.
Do you think that the governor's plans to run for president will have the media now looking at his campaign and not these issues? Don't they go hand in hand?
Well, they should go hand in hand. I do share one element of concern with the caller, and that said, I think the media generally is more focused on sort of a horse race and who's ahead and rhetorical points made as opposed to substantive issues that affect us. But there's no doubt that, especially groups like public radio that do tend to go more in depth, there will be some attention paid, and it's our job to continue to remind people of what's at stake for us here in Wisconsin, because I really believe that, the governor has been much more focused on what's going to help him and what's going to help his national campaign than he has in terms of looking at what kind of policy documents going to serve the people of Wisconsin best.
Yeah,
we're going to have our hands full.
You had a quotable quote where you said that the governor is throwing us under the campaign bus. How is this budget going to help his presidential campaign and hurt us?
Well, because what he's doing is he's focused on these far right-wing issues, to be able to make rhetorical points that probably do help him with the far right wing as he's trying to get the nomination and position himself. Issues like prevailing wage, which normally I don't think you would see pass in Wisconsin, but for him it was important to him to get that done. Things like, let's say a 20-week abortion with no exceptions for rape and incest. I mean, he demanded there be no exceptions. The casino in my home area, which would have created 10,000 jobs and would have paid the entire public share of the Bucks Arena. The broad expansion of vouchers, and these private unaccountable voucher schools at the expense of public schools. It used to at least be a separate appropriation. Now the money will come directly out of public schools, but he'll use this in his campaign to say, look, I've done the most massive public expansion of these private unaccountable voucher schools of any place in the state, mm-hmm. of any state in the country. And so it helps him, but it hurts us.
Are you happy with any of the vetoes, like, for instance, vetoing the expansion of payday lender services?
Well, yeah, I would say we're still reviewing them, but I am glad they did take out some of the policy that was put in that never received a proper hearing. It appears that he's curbed back some of the changes on faculty governance
and tenure, although I'm not 100% sure exactly what he's done there, but to the degree to which it makes it more likely that our world-class rated professors will stay in the state, I think that would be a plus. Yeah. But again, I'm not completely certain what he's done there.
And speaking of the Bucks, before we run out of time, Senator Farrow was confident that some sort of deal would be voted on that would provide financing for a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. Do you think so this week?
Well, it's possible it could come up in the Senate this week as early as Wednesday. In the Assembly, I know it's going to be delayed a couple weeks. I mean, obviously, not having in the budget much, it makes it much more unlikely to pass. Now, having said that, obviously, to the degree to which the governor's position is accurate, which we're still receiving a full briefing on this, that the taxpayers are better off by them staying than leaving, which I believe it appears is the case. Hopefully that will enable us to mount the votes to keep them here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, so what is your hope for Wisconsin as we move ahead now under this new budget with a governor who is running for president?
Well, obviously, I honestly believe that Wisconsin's sort of in the governor's rearview mirror at this point, that he's sort of moving on to his own desires, which he's had, obviously, for some time to be a national candidate. And my foremost hope is that perhaps Democrats and Republicans can join together and at least make some positive gains for Wisconsin. There's so many things that are needed, things like green energy jobs that will help the environment and also help put people to work, issues like finally getting accountability for all schools in Wisconsin, but especially for the unaccountable private, you know, voucher schools. That was AB1. I mean, it was the first bill introduced, and we've made no progress on that at all. Issues like finding ways to be more creative in terms of our economic development and our and strengthening communities so we can work together. We obviously have to have substantial reforms of WEDIC, and I'm hoping that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle can join together and get that done.
Thank you very much for being with us. Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and Racine. He is the Assembly Minority Leader. And thank him for joining us, as we do Paul Farrow, outgoing Republican State Senator from Pewaukee, and Sean Johnson, our state government reporter. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network.